Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is best practices for installing WebSphere Application Server version 7 feature packs. Today's presenters are Joe Mertzloff and Fishpal Shergill. Joe joined IBM in May 2001, providing level 2 support for WebSphere payment products. He made a transition to WebSphere Application Server Level 2 support in February 2003. And in 2004, he accepted the role of subject matter expert for WebSphere Application Server install. He continues to provide Level 2 support for the products and works with WebSphere development to advocate improvement to the product installation and update technologies. Fishpal joined IBM in May 2006 as a Level 2 support engineer. He currently serves in the role of subject matter expert for WebSphere application server install, update, and migration issues. In addition to working with IBM clients, he presents technical education sessions for WebSphere Level 2 support teams and has published several tech notes for handling product problem scenarios. At this point in time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Fishpal.
Thanks, Joseph. Welcome, everyone. I am Fishpal Shergill, and I'll start with the first part of the presentation. Joseph, let's move to slide 2, please. Today, we'll cover the general process and outline best practices associated with the installation and upgrade process for feature packs in WebSphere version V7. Today's agenda, we'll talk about introduction to Installation Manager, what are repositories, the import function, and how is it done, the options available in graphical interface with Installation Manager, options available in silent install with Installation Manager, the important directories that are associated with Installation Manager, and some best practices and common problems seen. Let's move to slide 3, please. Introduction to Installation Manager. Let's move to slide 4, please. Installation Manager, or IM, is a single installation program that can install, modify, uninstall, or update the product offering. Starting with WebSphere Application Server V7, the feature pack installation and updates are done by Installation Manager. However, the fixed pack updates to Application Server and the Java SDK updates will still be continued to be done using Update Installer utility. Let's move to slide 5, please. Earlier versions of WebSphere Application Server used ISMP-based tools to install, update, or uninstall feature packs. One of them was Update Installer. These had different programs for install, update, and uninstall. To install these feature packs, you had to download the feature pack and install each feature pack separately. The updates were done using Update Installer. Starting feature packs in version 7, we use IBM Installation Manager. Installation Manager can use local or web repositories. Web repositories allow Installation Manager to connect directly to web and download the necessary repositories automatically. One Installation Manager interface can handle installation, uninstallation, and updates for multiple products, and it can perform several operations from a single set of input. This simplifies the product installation and maintenance a lot. Let's move to slide 6. Now we will talk about repositories. Slide 7, please. Repositories are locations that installation manager queries for installable packages. There are two types of repositories that are available for feature packs, web repositories or local repositories. Web repositories can be used if the system has access to internet. Installation manager can connect to web directly and retrieve the feature pack repositories. IAM needs to be supplied with the URLs to connect to the web. If internet access is not available, then the local copies of these repositories are available for download. Above shows the example of a local feature pack and a fixed pack repository. On the left, you can see a local repository for feature pack and right, a local repository for a fixed pack. The good practice is not to delete the repositories after install of feature pack. Keep them intact as long as the feature pack remains installed on that particular application server instance. Before installing a feature pack fixed pack, you need to have the actual feature pack installed and the actual feature pack repository. Now, to add a repository, you just go to Installation Manager's File, Preferences, Repository Menu, and then Add Repository. For web, add the URL mentioned on the slide. For local, provide the repository path up to and including the repository.config file that defines the repository. Make sure that the search service repository during installation and update checkbox is unchecked if there is no access to internet. For the screen capture on how to add these repositories, you can refer to the speaker notes under the slide 6 of the presentation. For silent installation, just specify your repositories under the server section of the response file. Let's move to slide 8, please. We will discuss the import function now. Slide 9, please. Before you can use Installation Manager to install any feature pack, you need to import the application server into the Installation Manager because application server was installed using ISMP technologies. Click the import button to open the import wizard. Import button is only available and visible after a WebSphere repository has been added to the repository list. So if you do not see the import button on the main Installation Manager graphical panel, check your repository configuration to be sure you are pointing to a WebSphere repository. The application server fixed pack level and the Java SDK fixed pack level must match. For example, like stated on the slide, if your WebSphere application server is 7.0.0.17, then the SDK fixed pack 17 must be installed before importing WAS to the installation manager. Let's move to slide 10, please. To import an application server installation, you need to provide the installation directory for that instance of the application server. The screenshot on the left shows this. You can either browse to the location or type the full path into the installation directory field. After providing the path, click Next. The next panel shown on the right allows you to choose the shared resources directory for the installation manager. The directory caches the data retrieved from the repositories, and once selected, it cannot be changed. We will discuss more details for this directory later in the presentation. Click Next to proceed through the import wizard. Now we will discuss options in graphical interface. Slide 12, please. The installation manager includes several wizards that guide you through installing, updating, and uninstalling products. Let's give an overview of these functions. The install wizard is for installing packages. The install function will access the repositories configured, allow you to select specific packages to install from the list of packages that are available in your repositories for installation. Next is the update wizard. It's the interface to apply updates to the installed products. The wizard displays and recommends fixes or maintenance packages depending on the repositories in the config. Some products have optional sub-features which can be installed during the initial install, can be added later, or can be removed later. The modify function allows you to add or remove these features. Let's move to slide 13, please. The import wizard allows you to point to an existing product installation on your system. We'd already talked about import of WebSphere application server before. Do not try to use import function for other products unless specified in the instructions. In this presentation, we'll be talking about feature packs, so that's why the import function is there to import WebSphere application server. Next is the rollback wizard allows you to move your product back to the previous version of the service. The uninstall wizard allows you to remove the software package completely from your system. There's a manage license wizard which is not used by WebSphere products at this time. And we'll talk about rollback and uninstall in reference to feature packs in later slides. Let's move to slide 14, please. Install function. Here are some sample screenshots of what is seen when using the install function for feature packs. Left shows when using web repositories, you will see a list of all available feature packs for the product. Now, selecting show all versions toward the checkbox toward the bottom will list all the possible fixed pack levels. Otherwise, only the latest version of each feature pack is displayed. On the right, when you use local repositories, only the feature pack and a fixed pack represented in IAM's repository lists are displayed. So whatever you have in your local repository, only those feature packs or fixed packs will be displayed. Let's move to slide 15, please. Now, here's a screenshot when using the update function. Use the update option to apply fixed pack to an already installed feature pack. This option will only list available fixed packs for the feature packs which are installed. The list of fixed packs available when using web repositories is represented on the left. This will list all the available fixed packs for the feature packs that are installed. The list of fixed packs available when using a local repository is shown on the right. Only fixed packs represented in IAM repository list, which are eligible to be installed, will be shown. If show recommended only is selected, then only the highest available fixed pack for each feature pack is displayed. If a feature pack is not yet installed, and only the fixed packs are available in the installation manager repository list, then these views will show that no updates are available. The base code of the feature pack must be installed before a feature pack fixed pack is installed. When installing the base code, you can choose to uninstall or install a fixed pack as a part of initial installation. Let's move to slide 16, please. Let's talk about rollback now. The rollback wizard allows you to move your product from a fixed pack Y to a fixed pack X. For example, the installation was done with XML 100, then it was updated to XML 1003, and then updated to XML 1005. Now, when you do rollback, it will give an option to you to roll back either to 1003 or to 100. But if during the initial installation you installed directly 1005, then there will be nothing to roll back to. Let's move to slide 17. Here's an example of an uninstall function. Using the uninstall wizard, you can choose which feature packs you want to uninstall. But if you checkbox the offering which says WebSphere Application Server and D, then the entire WAF 7 product will be uninstalled. So be careful when you choose to uninstall the feature packs. However, if you want to uninstall WebSphere Application Server, which has already been imported to IAM, we recommend you use Installation Manager to uninstall it, because if the standalone WAF uninstall program is used, still Installation Manager will think that that WAF is still part of IAM, and in future, if WAF is installed to the same location, there can be issues. Profiles need to be unaugmented before the feature packs are uninstalled. So let's move to slide 18. And at this point, I'll pass on to the second speaker, Joseph Mutzloff.
Thank you, Vishpo. As Joseph mentioned earlier, the PDF file of this presentation has some speaker notes starting on page 59. For this section, especially for future reference, we recommend referring to those speaker notes. And now we'll talk about performing silent operations with Installation Manager. Slide 19, please, Joseph. If graphical capabilities are not available on the system, then the silent mode can be used to install and maintain feature packs. Installation Manager itself can be installed in silent mode, and then subsequent operations, such as installing feature packs, can also be performed in silent mode. Silent mode uses XML formatted response files as input. We have sample response files for various activities in the WAS version 7 information center. Also, it's possible to record your own response file customized to whatever operations you want to perform. A single Installation Manager program takes the response file as input, and that response file drives all activity. So a single response file can instruct Installation Manager to perform multiple actions. Slide 20, please. Some example commands for invoking Installation Manager to use a response file are listed here on this slide. The dash input parameter indicates which response file should be used. The dash accept license parameter indicates that you accept the license agreements associated with the products, and this is required for Installation Manager to proceed. Also, the dash show progress parameter gives a progress indicator on the console to show operations in progress. This is optional, but you'll find that it's useful when you're attempting to learn silent mode. Newer versions of Installation Manager do have some features that can be used as an alternative to silent mode, but those features are only available to new IBM products. So that's why it'll be especially important to familiarize yourself with silent mode for version 7 feature packs. Move to slide 21, please. Installation Manager has two modes which are useful for preparing silent mode response files, recording mode and something called skip install mode. Recording mode, as implied by the name, runs IAM in graphical mode and records the actions that take place during that session. All those actions that you perform in graphical mode are saved to a response file. We really strongly recommend using record mode to learn how response files are generated. It's a lot easier to learn how to do this in graphical mode and see the equivalent commands generated to a response file. Skip install mode is a useful companion to the recording mode. The skip install mode causes IAM to perform, call it a dry run of all actions. No software is installed in skip install mode, nor is it uninstalled or modified. Also, skip install mode maintains a dummy set of agent data. It's able to keep track of a fake set of software, which allows you to emulate your installations without actually installing any software at all. Note that you do need to actually install WebSphere Application Server version 7 in order to use this record mode feature for feature packs. You can combine both these modes in order to generate response files without having to devote your time or file system space normally required for installing products. Move to slide 22, please. When running IM in recording mode, the graphical interface will indicate that mode on the title bar. And as mentioned before, using the dash skip install agent data location argument along with the dash record response file.xml argument, you can create a response file for an installation process without performing the actual installation of that feature pack. The agent data location stores the data for that dummy installation. You can then use that same agent data location later to perform subsequent operations, such as simulating fixed pack installs or even uninstalling the feature packs. There is something important to keep in mind here. Don't specify IM's default agent data directory for that agent data location parameter with dash skip install. We'll describe the agent data a little later, but for now, just know that if you do specify the normal agent data directory, this will cause your dummy data to be added or removed from the real agent data, which keeps track of real product installations on the system. We'll move to slide 23, please. Here's a sample response file. This particular response file will import WebSphere version 7 on Windows, then install the base package for the XML feature pack, along with XML feature pack fixed pack 5. Each of these relevant sections, including that option striped in cyan coloring at the top of the page, is discussed in the subsequent slides. Now, the writing here is too small to read individual elements. Our goal in showing you this sample on this slide is just to highlight the major sections of the response file, and we'll describe these in detail in the subsequent slides. We'll move to slide 24, please. Now let's talk about each of those individual sections. The agent input options are typically the first options in a response file. These options set some global settings for the IM session which is executing this response file. The clean and temporary attributes affect how IM uses the repositories and other preference settings. The clean attribute determines whether other preferences in the response file are used. The temporary attribute determines if settings are saved to the persistent preferences in IM from the response file that you're executing. When set to true, the repositories and other preferences specified in the response file do not persist in Installation Manager. This is the setting that we recommend. We'll move to slide 25, please. The server options determine where all the repositories, whether they're web repositories or local repositories, are located, which should be used during this IM session. As mentioned on one of our earlier slides, this is the equivalent of going to the File and Preferences menu in Installation Manager graphical mode. This section determines where your list of repositories are. If you record a response file on one system and then you transfer that response file to another system to be executed by IM over there, then be sure that the repository locations are still correct on that other system. If the repository locations actually change on the other system, then just manually edit this response file to point them to the correct location. We'll move to slide 26, please. The profile options specify which product installations, also referred to as package groups, will be modified when IAM executes this response file. The installation location parameter specifies the directory path to an existing installation of WebSphere Application Server version 7. Again, at the point that you are recording this response file or manually creating it, you will have already installed WebSphere version 7. The ID parameter represents the package group name assigned to the imported installation of WebSphere Application Server. If the product is already imported, then use the same name that's been used previously. This ID parameter is important because you see it show up in several places throughout the response file. And this is essentially your own name that you're giving to the product. The first time that a WAS 7 product installation is imported, its ID can be chosen. We recommend using an ID which is similarly formatted to what is shown in that section at the top of the slide. Once WAS 7 is imported, you need to use a consistent ID value in the future. If you forgot which ID you used in the past, you can check a file called install.xml in the IAM agent data directory. We'll explain more about this file and that location later. We'll move to slide 27, please. Here we continue the discussion of the profile attributes. The Eclipse location just needs to be set to the same value used for install location. The user.import.profile should be set to true to perform an import of the WebSphere version 7 product. It's okay to set this to true even if the product has already been imported once before. The user.cic.imported settings set the value to the offering ID key that matches the product edition. In other words, if you have WebSphere version 7 Express, you need to use the Express parameter. If you have network deployment, you need to use the ND parameter, and so on. We'll move to slide 28, please. The import section is necessary when the profile data key user.import.profile is set to true. Note that the profile value must match the profile ID value mentioned on a previous slide exactly. If you're choosing not to import WebSphere Application Server because it's already imported, you can omit this whole section. We'll move to slide 29, please. The install section is especially important. It declares which packages will be installed from your list of repositories. Once again, that list of repositories is what you put in the server section. There are a couple of attributes to be concerned with here, the modify attribute and the offerings attributes. The modify attribute is only set to true when you're adding a new sub-feature to the product specified by the profile ID. In terms of WebSphere version 7 feature packs, this is actually something that you don't do very often at all, so most of the time you'll just leave this option false. The offering attributes determine which packages are installed. Several packages can be installed in a single IAM session, so the offering sections can be listed under a single install section. As we'll show in the examples on subsequent slides, you can use this section to install one or more feature packs, including fix packs for those feature packs. We'll move to slide 30, please. As mentioned earlier, each install section can have several offering sections. Each offering has its own set of attributes to be concerned with. The ID and profile parameters are required. Version and features parameters are optional. Here we'll talk about the ID and version attributes. The ID attribute names a package to be installed. Details about how to find an exact package ID inside a repository are explained later. Putting this a different way, this is where you declare the name of one of the feature packs and one of the feature pack fix packs to be installed. If a version attribute is provided, then the offering will be installed at the version level specified, as long as you actually have that available in your list of repositories. If the version attribute is not provided, then the default behavior is to install the highest version available from your list of repositories. We'll move to slide 31, please. The features attribute is optional. Offerings, such as feature pack installs, have at least one feature, a core feature, which must be installed in order for that product or feature pack to function. If other feature names are specified, then only those features will be installed. If the features attribute is omitted, then the default behavior is to install the default set of features for the offering. This is generally something that we recommend. Note that the profile value, once again, must exactly match the ID specified in the profile section earlier. Again, that's the name of the product that you want to update. We'll move to slide 32, please. The preferences data values are global settings which control IAM's behavior. The shared resources location setting is worth additional discussion. The shared data location acts as a cache for IAM. It maintains data about local and web repositories. As we mentioned earlier, the first time a product is installed or the first time a WebSphere version 7 instance is imported, you can choose the location of the shared data. After the shared data location is set, it can't be changed using a response file or the graphical interface. So ensure that the shared data location is a location that can be written to all user accounts that are expected to use Installation Manager. We'll move to slide 33, please. Again, as mentioned earlier, sometimes you need to use data which has been set by previous sessions of Installation Manager. Let's talk about that profile ID. When you're updating a WebSphere version 7 instance which has already been imported, you need to use the same profile ID that had been used the first time WebSphere version 7 was imported. If you don't know or don't remember what the profile ID should be, then you can look it up in a file named installed.xml. For best results, open up that file in a web browser instead of a text editor. That file is located under the IAM Agent Data Directory, also referred to as the IAM Data Directory. Again, this is a location that we're going to discuss just a little later. Note that you can also choose the View Installed Product option under the File menu in Installation Manager's graphical mode to see this same data. Now let's talk about the feature pack offering ID and version numbers. If you're unsure about what a feature pack's offering ID or version numbers are for a particular fix pack, and review the files in the feature packs repository. Specifically, look for a file named repository.xml in that repository's main directory or the local-repository subdirectory if it exists. As indicated in the graphics in the lower part of this slide, an XML tag in the file indicates the offering ID and version in that feature pack or fix pack. We'll move on to slide 34, please. Here's an example of what the server and install sections of a response file look like if you're choosing to install XML Feature Pack with FixPack 5. The two sections will look the same whether you're installing the XML Feature Pack at 1005 for the very first time, or if you're updating an existing feature pack with FixPack 5. In this example, IM will automatically install the latest version available in the repository list. The repository list has both the base install package for the XML feature pack as well as FixPack 5 for the XML feature pack. This is not a complete response file example. This is just illustrating that you can use similar server and install sections whether you're installing the feature pack for the first time or upgrading it. We'll move to slide 35, please. Here we extend the previous example. We have a repository list that has XML feature pack FixPacks 3, 5, and 7. In this example, although we have several FixPacks available, we specifically want to upgrade to FixPack 5. So in the offering section, we need to specify the version number, which specifically identifies FixPack 5. You see that version number listed near the bottom of the slide. Unfortunately, that version number isn't very intuitive, so how do we really know what that version number is supposed to be? Well, as we mentioned earlier, you can refer to the repository.xml file in the FixPack 5's repository files. The version number for FixPack 5 is listed there. Note that you can also generate this version number by using IM's record mode to record a response file. This is one of the main reasons why we recommend using that record mode. It will look up this kind of data for you. We'll move to slide 36, please. Here's another brief example similar to the FixPack 5 example. In this example, an interim fix is being installed. Again, for details about the offering ID that you need to specify for an interim fix, refer to its repository.xml file or use the record mode to learn how the response file should look. We'll move to slide 37, please. This example shows some sections of a response file for uninstalling a feature pack or a feature pack's fix pack. The uninstaller will not allow you to uninstall a feature pack if it detects that any of its profiles are augmented. Setting a data key to true, as shown on the slide, the uninstaller will run a script which unaugments the feature pack data from all profiles. You can specify an augmentation option for several feature packs in a single profile section. We'll move to slide 38, please. Here we're continuing the uninstall example. If the version and feature attributes are not specified in the uninstall's offering section, then the whole feature pack is uninstalled. If the version attribute is specified, then the specific fix pack that was specified is uninstalled. Again, see the install example earlier for details about finding that exact version number. Slide 39, please. Similar to the uninstall command, there is also a separate rollback command. The rollback command is similar to the uninstall command because it's capable of uninstalling fix packs from a feature pack. With the rollback command, you have to choose the version that you want to roll back to. In other words, you choose the version number that you want to have when the operation completes. This is a little different than the uninstall example, where you choose specifically what you want to uninstall. In this example, the XML feature pack is being rolled back to version 1000. All the feature packs and interim fixes are being removed. We'll move to slide 40, please. And at this point, I'll turn the presentation back to Vishpal.
Thanks, Joseph. Now we will discuss about important directories that are associated with Installation Manager. Slide 41, please. The first is the Shared Resource Directory. As discussed earlier, the Shared Resources Directory acts as a cache of data related to repositories. It contains files that can be shared by multiple packages and product installations. This directory's location can only be selected the first time you install a package with IBM Installation Manager. As mentioned by Joe, after the shared data location is set, it cannot be changed using a response file or graphical interface. For best results, select a file system with ample available space. This directory will grow as more products and packages are installed. It's a good practice to use the recommended shared resources directory, which is usually on the same file system as the product. It is recommended to take the backup of this directory when taking other operating system backups. The contents of this directory should not be deleted in an effort to conserve file system space. Let's move to slide 42, please. The next is App Data Location Directory, also referred as IAM Data, IAM Agent Data Directory. This is the directory that Installation Manager uses to track data that is associated with installed products, like state of each product, history of operations, logs, what is installed, etc. The data in this directory is extremely important. If this directory becomes lost or corrupted, then it may not be possible to install fix packs or even uninstall the products using Installation Manager. Taking backup of this directory whenever other important files are backed up is recommended. Making any changes to the content in this directory is not supported. The default IAM data locations are mentioned on the slide. You can also direct Installation Manager to use a non-default data location directory using dash data location or dash DL option. If you choose to do this, then the same location must be used every time for this WAS install to apply updates or uninstall or install any future feature packs or fix packs to feature packs. Let's move to slide 43, please. Continuing on the App Data Location or IAM Data Directory. This slide shows the information about where you find the Installation Manager install location and how you can find the default location for App Data Location or IAM Data Directory. To find the default location, you check cic.appdatalocation property in the config.ini file under the Installation Manager Home Eclipse Configuration Directory. If you're not sure where Installation Manager is installed, you can check the locations as mentioned on the slide. For example, for Unix, you can go to /etc/ibm/registry and installationmanager.dat file. That file should have the location where your Installation Manager is installed. Again, the name of the file is installationmanager.dat file. And to find the location on a Windows system is also listed on the slide. Let's move to slide 44, please. Now let's talk about logs and other data that is associated with Installation Manager. What are the options to view it and how we can view it using IAM graphical interface or use it on the local machine? So let's move to slide 45. Installation Manager's graphical mode has built-in viewers for important data. You can view the logs, the installation history, and installed packages. Like you see in the screenshot towards the right, when you click View Installed Packages, it will list all the packages that are installed, what is the shared resource directory, and what's the installation directory, and stuff like that. Each of these three views are listed under the File menu. The log viewer is important in case you want to view the recent logs or the last update or uninstall that was done. If you want to see if a success or failure, you can use the view log option. Let's move to slide 46. You can also view the logs and history data manually if you do not have the access to graphical interface. This data is in the Install Manager data directory. In the example screenshot, the left clip shows the Windows file browser viewing the imdata/logs directory. If you view the index.xml file from that directory in any web browser, you will see a log file and a summary of number of warnings and errors in each. You can click any of the logs and see what's happening in the log. If you need to copy the files to another system to view them, we recommend you copy the complete IAM data directory, and then you can view it on the remote system. The IAM data directory also has other useful data which you can browse, like install.xml, if opened in a browser like Firefox or Internet Explorer, gives you details what is installed and what is the shared directory and all, like Joe showed in one of his examples earlier. The list of history events associated with each product is located in imdata history subdirectory. You can open the index.xml to view the history of each product that is installed. Let's move to slide 47. Now, let's discuss some best practices and some common problems and common questions we have seen. Move to slide 48. Here are some best practices which haven't been mentioned earlier or they are worth reiterating. The IBM Installation Manager's install directory and the shared resource directory and the data agent directory, all three should have unique independent path. That is, don't create a data agent directory or a shared directory under IAM home or vice versa. They all should have unique path. IAM can be used as a non-root user also, but it is the best practice to use the same user to install and update the feature pack, which was used to install and update WebSphere application server. The user should have the right access to all the files that are located within the WebSphere application server home directory. When installing multiple feature packs, it is always good to use the record a response file rather than using a sample one like Joe had mentioned earlier in his slide. Let's move to slide 49, please. Local repositories can be stored on a network file system. The network file system can be mounted, and the repositories can be accessed like the normal local repository. On Windows, you can use UNCPath to access them, provided that the current user has proper credentials to access them. Profiles need to be augmented in order to use the feature pack functionality. That is, by just installing the feature pack does not mean that the profiles can use it unless specified in the documentation of the feature pack. Mostly, you have to augment your existing profile with the feature pack so that the profiles can use the functionality. Profiles augmented by WebSphere application server feature pack must have those feature packs removed before the feature pack is uninstalled. This is called unaugmenting. Unaugmentation can take place using the Manage Profile tool, or you can choose to have the uninstaller automatically unaugment these profiles. Mentioned earlier, but worth reiterating, if you use local repositories, do not discard them after finishing installing a feature pack. Also, be sure to maintain the copy of the data generated when you use the -skip install parameter and the record mode. This will help you to apply the later updates or to record response files for uninstall or updates to the same offering. Always use the latest copy of WAS import repository. If you are using local repositories, This will be discussed in a later slide by Joe. Let's move to slide 50, and at this point, I will pass the presentation to Joseph Merchloff. Thanks, Joe.
Thanks, Vishpal. Now we'll discuss some of the common problems people see when they're trying to set up WebSphere version 7 feature packs. The synchronization error shown in the left screenshot is a common occurrence. When an installation manager detects that WebSphere version 7 fix packs level has been changed using the update installer, IAM needs to synchronize its data with the new state of the WebSphere product. In order to do this, IAM needs access to something that we call the WebSphere Import Repository. However, as newer versions of WebSphere are released, the WebSphere Import Repository needs to be updated as well. If the WebSphere Import Repository is missing or outdated, then the error shown on the left occurs when IAM attempts to synchronize with the WebSphere product. You'll need to resolve this issue before any installs, updates, or uninstalls can take place. We'll move to slide 51, please. The feature packs include a copy of the WebSphere Import Repository, so when installing a feature pack, you may find that you don't need to download the WebSphere Import Repository separately. But that copy of the WebSphere Import Repository included in a feature pack can become outdated as new WebSphere fix packs are released. The screenshots illustrate this fact. On the left, we see an import repository, which was included with a feature pack, but it's outdated. Notice the files in there only show the version numbers up to fix pack 7007. The right screenshot shows a more modern import repository, which contains information about more WebSphere fix pack levels. Notice that that one in the right screenshot goes all the way up to fix pack 70019. The latest WebSphere import repository is always available at a location on IBM.com that's listed in the speaker notes for slide 51. That's updated whenever a WebSphere version 7 fix pack is released. Now, note that if you use web repositories which connect to IBM.com, then you don't need to worry about this file because this is already integrated in the web repositories. Slide 52, please. Here's a different common problem that we see. When importing WebSphere using IAM, the WebSphere fix pack level and the Java SDK fix pack level do need to be the same level. The fix pack levels also need to be the same whenever WebSphere is synchronized with IAM. As shown in this slide, we happen to generate this error with WebSphere at one version, but the Java SDK at a different version. Slide 53, please. When you're installing a feature pack for the first time, you need the feature pack's base install package. You can't just use the fix pack package to install the feature pack for the first time. So where can you download that base installation repository? Well, you can start with the recommended updates page. The URL for this is listed in the speaker notes on page 53. You go to the version 7 section of the recommended updates and find the name of a feature pack you're interested in. Click on the link to that feature pack. That will bring you to the latest fix pack page for the feature pack. Now, in this case, we're looking for the base install repository. The fix pack won't be enough. However, from that fix pack page, if you look at a link in the download description, which takes you to the overview page for the feature pack, that page has a download button. Usually, it's represented by a large purple button graphic, and that leads you to the page from which you can download the FeaturePak's base install repository. I recommend going through this path to find the FeaturePak download repositories because I found it's the easiest one to remember. And also, it takes you through the recommended updates page, which is a page that I encourage people to visit frequently anyway. The base repository's file name is shown on the slide. These feature packs need to be maintained on a separate site from the fix packs because they're treated as if you're downloading a whole product. Now we can move on. Now that you have the base install repository, we can discuss the fix pack repositories. Generally, you only need to download the first repository listed on a feature pack's fix pack download page. That's the diagram that we have on this slide. And the very first link listed is the actual FixPak repository. In this case, FixPak 9 for the XML feature pack. The second link links you to the WebSphere import repository that we discussed earlier. If you happen to need an updated copy of that, you can download it from there. The third link is not needed as long as you always keep a copy of the base install repository for a feature pack. And this is advice that we mentioned a little earlier, that when you're using local repositories, we encourage you to hold on to them and not delete them even after you've finished installing feature packs. We can move to slide 54, please. Now let's discuss some of the must-gather data required by our support team. If you encounter problems with Installation Manager and you open a PMR with IBM support, there's a standard set of data that we like to collect from you that helps us get a good understanding of what you're encountering. The Agent Data Directory, or IM Data Directory, is one of the most important things. There is a data export command that you can use that's pictured on this slide when you're using the graphical mode for Installation Manager. You can go to the Help menu and choose the option Export Data for Problem Analysis. A dialog box comes up and it allows you to choose a name and location for a zip file that it generates with all the data that we're looking for. You can then send that zip file to us at IBM. A link to the full must-gather is listed in the speaker notes on slide 54. In addition, if you need to use Installation Manager in silent mode, there's a command line parameter which is also capable of exporting the data. Those commands are listed on this slide. Slide 55, please. Here we have some additional data that we like to collect in case you open a PMR with IBM support. The logs directory from the application server is useful. All of the XML files from the application server's properties, version, NIF, backup directory are also useful. If you happen to be doing a silent install with Installation Manager, we like to get a copy of your response file. And then finally, If you're encountering an error in graphical mode that might be difficult to describe, you can send us a screenshot of that error. Or if you're using the console and you just can't get the graphical interface to come up in the first place, any errors that are listed on the console can be copied and pasted to us. All right. Slide 56, please. At this point, I'll turn the speaker over to Joseph.
Thank you, Joe and FishPal, for a great presentation today. At this point in time, Jackie, we would like to open the line for questions.
We have no further questions.
So at this point in time, we are going to conclude the presentation.